Welcome to day 50 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let us return to the Hebrew Bible, reading Numbers 31 through 33. War against Midian. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Avenge the Israelites on the Midianites. Afterwards you shall be gathered to your people." So Moses spoke to the people, saying, "Arm some of your numbers for the war, so that they may go against Midian to execute the Lord's vengeance on Midian. You shall send 1,000 from each of the tribes of Israel to the war." So out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe were conscribed, 12,000 armed for battle. Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 from each tribe, along with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, with the vessels of the sanctuary and the trumpets for sounding the alarm in his hand. They did battle against Midian as the Lord had commanded Moses and killed every male. They killed the kings of Midian, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian, in addition to others who were slain by them. And they also killed Balaam, son of Beor, with the sword. The Israelites took the women of Midian and their little ones captive, and they plundered all their cattle, their flocks, and all their goods. All their towns where they had settled and all their encampments they burned. But they took all the spoil and all the plunder, both people and animals. Then they brought the captives and the plunder and the spoils to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the congregation of the Israelites at the camp on the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho. Return from the war. Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside the camp. Moses became angry with the officers of the army, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds who had come from service in the war. Moses said to them, "Have you allowed all the women to live? These women here, on Balaam's advice, made the Israelites act treacherously against the Lord in the affair of Peor, so that the plague came among the congregation of the Lord. Now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman who has known a man by sleeping with him. But all the young girls who have not known a man by sleeping with him, keep alive for yourselves. Camp outside the camp 7 days. Whoever you have has killed any person or touched a corpse, purify yourself, you and your captives, on the third and on the seventh day. You shall purify every garment, every article of skin, everything made of goat's hair, and every article of wood." Eleazar the priest said to the troops who had gone to battle, "This is the statute of the law that the Lord has commanded Moses: gold, silver, bronze, iron, tin, and lead. Everything that can withstand fire, you shall pass through fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall also be purified with the water for purification, and whatever cannot withstand fire, you shall pass through the water. You must wash your clothes on the seventh day, and you shall be clean. Afterwards, you may come into the camp." Disposition of captives and plunder. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You and Eleazar, the priest and the head of the ancestral houses of the congregation, make an inventory of the plunder captured, both human and animal. Divide the plunder into two parts between the warriors who went out to battle and all the congregation. From the share of the warriors who went out to battle, set aside as tribute for the Lord one item out of every 500, whether person, oxen, donkeys, or sheep. Take it from their half and give it to Eleazar the priest as an offering to the Lord. But from the Israelites' half, you shall take one out of every 50, whether persons, oxen, donkeys, or sheep, all the animals, and give them to the Levites who perform the duties of the tabernacle of the Lord." Then Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord had commanded Moses. The plunder remaining from the spoils that the troop had taken totaled 675,000 sheep, 72,000 oxen, 61,000 donkeys, and 32,000 persons in all, women who had not known a man by sleeping with him. The half share, the portion of those who had gone out to war, was in number 337,500 sheep, and the Lord's tribute of sheep was 675. The oxen were 36,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 72. The donkeys were 30,500, of which the Lord's tribute was 61. The persons were 60,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 32 persons. Moses gave the tribute, the offering to the Lord, to Eleazar the priest, as the Lord had commanded Moses. As for the Israelites' half, which Moses separated from that of the troops, the congregation's half was 337,500 sheep, 36,000 oxen, 3,500 donkey, and 16,000 persons. From the Israelites' half, Moses took one of every 50, both of persons and of animals, and gave them to the Levites, who performed the duties of the tabernacle of the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then the officers who were over the thousands of the army, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, approached Moses and said to Moses, "Your servants have counted the warriors who are under our command, and not one of us is missing. We have brought the Lord's offering, what each of us found, articles of gold, armlets and bracelets, signet rings, earrings, and pendants to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord." Moses and Eleazar the priests received the gifts from them, all in the form of crafted articles, and all the gold of the offerings that they offered to the Lord from the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds was 16,750 shekels. The troop had all taken plunder for themselves. So Moses and Eleazar the priests received the gold from the commanders of thousands and of hundreds and brought it to the tent of meeting as a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord. Conquest and division in Transjordan. Now the Reubenites and the Gadites owned a very great number of cattle. When they saw that the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead was a good place for cattle, the Gadites and the Reubenites came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, "Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimra, Heshbon, Elilah, Sebam, Nebo, and beyond, the land that the Lord subdued before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and your servants have cattle." They continued, "If we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants for a possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan." But Moses said to the Gadites and to the Reubenites, "Shall your brothers go to war while you sit here? Why will you discourage the hearts of the Israelites from going over into the land that the Lord has given them? Your fathers did this when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. When they went up to the Wadi Eshkol and saw the land, they discouraged the hearts of the Israelites from going into the land that the Lord had given them. The Lord's anger was kindled on that day, and he swore, saying, 'Surely none of the people who came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and up shall see the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not unreservedly followed me. None except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they have unreservedly followed the Lord.' And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all the generations that had done evil in the sight of the Lord had disappeared. And now you, a brood of sinners, have risen in the place of your fathers to increase the Lord's anger, fierce anger against Israel. If you turn away from following him, he will again abandon them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all this people." Then they came up to him and said, "We will build sheepfolds here for our flocks and towns for our little ones, but we will take up arms as a vanguard before the Israelites until we have brought them to their place. Meanwhile, our little ones will stay in the fortified towns because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until all the Israelites have obtained their inheritance. We will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has come to us on this side of the Jordan to the east." So Moses said to them, "If you do this, if you take up arms to go before the Lord for the war, and all of those of you who bear arms cross the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then after that you may return and be free of obligation to the Lord and to Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you do not do this, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build towns for your little ones and folds for your flocks, but do what you have promised." Then the Gadites and the Reubenites said to Moses, "Your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all of our sheep shall remain there in the town of Gilead. But your servants will cross over, everyone armed for war, to do battle for the Lord, just as my Lord orders." So Moses gave commands concerning them to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua son of Nun, and to the heads of the ancestral houses of the Israelite tribes. And Moses said to them, "If the Gadites and the Reubenites, everyone armed for battle before the Lord, will cross over the Jordan with you, and the land shall be subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if you will not cross over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan." The Gadites and the Reubenites answered, saying, "As the Lord has spoken to your servants, so we will do. We will cross over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, but the possession of our inheritance shall remain with us on this side of the Jordan." Moses gave to them, to the Gadites and the Reubenites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph, the kingdom of King Sihon of the Amorites, and the kingdom of King Og of Bashan, the land and its towns, and the territories of the surrounding towns. And the Gadites rebuilt Dabon, Ataroth, Aroer, Atrashapon, Jazer, Jogbeha, Beth Nimra, and Beth Haran, fortified cities and folds for sheep. And the Reubenites rebuilt Heshbon, Elealeh, Kiriathaim, Nebo, and Baala-meon, some names being changed, and Sibmah, and they gave names to the towns that they rebuilt. The descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, went to Gilead, captured it, and dispossessed the Amorites who were there. So Moses gave Gilead to Machir, son of Manasseh, and he settled there. Jair, son of Manasseh, went out and captured the villages and renamed them Havoth Jair. And Nobah went and captured Kenath and its villages and renamed it Nobah after himself. The stages of Israel's journey from Egypt. These are the stages by which the Israelites went out of the land of Egypt in military formation under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Moses wrote down their starting points stage by stage by command of the Lord, and these are the stages according to their starting places. They set out from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover. The Israelites went out boldly in the sight of all the Egyptians. While the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had struck down among them, the Lord executed judgments even against their gods. So the Israelites set out from Ramesses and camped at Succoth. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They set up from Etham and turned back to Pi-Hahiroth, which faces Baal Zephon, and they camped before Migdol. They set out from Pi-Hahiroth, passed through the sea into the wilderness, went on a 3 days journey in the wilderness of Etham, and camped at Marah. They set out from Marah and came to Elam. At Elam, there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there. They set out from Elim and camped by the Red Sea. They set out from the Red Sea and camped in the wilderness of Sin. They set out from the wilderness of Sin and camped at Dophkah. They set out from Dophkah and camped at Alush. They set out from Alush and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They set out from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Hebroth Hattaavah. They set out from Hebroth Hattaavah and camped at Hazeroth. They set out from Hazeroth and camped at Rithmah. They set out from Rithmah and camped at Rimmon Perez. They set out from Rimmon Perez and camped at Libnah. They set out from Libnah and camped at Rissah. They set out from Rissah and camped at Kehelatha. They set out from Kehelatha and camped at Mount Shephar. They set out from Mount Shephar and camped at Harada. They set out from Harada and camped at Machaloth. They set out from Machaloth and camped at Tahath. They set out from Tahath and camped at Terah. They set out from Terah and camped at Mithka. They set out from Mithka and camped at Heshmana. They set out from Heshmana and camped at Maseroth. They set out from Maseroth and camped at B'nai Jekan. They set out from B'nai Jekan and camped at Hor Haggidgad. They set out from Hor Haggidgad and camped at Jotbah. They set out from Jotbah and camped at Abrona. They set out from Abrona and camped at Azin Geber. They set out from Ezion Geber and camped in the wilderness of Zin, that is Kadesh. They set out from Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor on the edge of the land of Edom. Aaron the priest went up Mount Hor at the command of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the Israelites had come out of the land of Egypt on the first day of the fifth month. Aaron was 123 years old when he died on Mount Hor. The Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev and the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the Israelites. They set out from Mount Hor and camped at Zalmona. They set out from Zalmona and camped at Punon. They set out from Punon and camped at Oboth. They set out from Oboth and camped at Ai Abarim and the territory of Moab. They set out from Aiim and camped at Dibon Gad. They set out from Dibon Gad and camped at Almon Dibalathaim. They set out from Almon Dibalathaim and camped in the mountains of Abarim before Nebo. They set out from the mountains of Abarim and camped in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho. They camped by the Jordan from Beth Jeshimoth as far as Abel Shittim in the plains of Moab. Directions for the conquest of Canaan. In the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their figure stones, destroy all their cast images, and demolish all their high places. You shall take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess. You shall apportion the land by lot according to your clans. To a large one you shall give a large inheritance, and to a small one you shall give a small inheritance. The inheritance shall belong to the person whom the lot falls. According to your ancestral tribes, you shall apportion it. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then those whom you let remain, such as barbs in your eyes and thorns in your side, they shall trouble you in the land where you are settling, and I will do to you as I thought to do to them." As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? We read the story of the Israelite successes in battle. This is a reminder that despite the continued failings of the Israelites and their lack of trust in the Lord, God continues to provide blessings and show favor. How does the narrative arc of Numbers illustrate the character of God? Now let's move to 1 Corinthians 15 and 16 and 2 Corinthians 1. The resurrection of Christ. Now I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I have handed on to you as of first importance that what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaimed, and so you believed. The resurrection of the dead. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who also have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ, but each in its own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that this does not include the one who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who put all things in subjection under him, so that God may be in all. Otherwise, what will those people do who receive baptism on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? And why are we putting ourselves in danger every hour? I die every day. That is as certain, brothers and sisters, as my boasting of you, a boast that I make in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought with wild animals at Ephesus with a merely human perspective, what would I have gained from it? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Sober up as you rightly ought to, and sin no more, for some people have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. The resurrection body. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for you, for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Not all flesh is alike, but there is one flesh for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. They are both heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is the one thing, and that of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. Indeed, star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, made of dust. The second man is from heaven. As one of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as one of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the one of dust, we will also bear the image of the one of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Look, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The collection for the saints. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, you should follow the direction I give to the churches of Galatia. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save whatever extra you earn, so that collections need not be taken when I come. And when I arrive, I will send any whom you approve with letters to take your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. Plans for travel. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I go. I do not want to see you just now in passing, for I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay with Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. If Timothy comes to see that he has nothing to fear among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord just as I am. Therefore, let no one despise him. Send him on his way in peace so that he may come to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers and sisters. Now, concerning your brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to visit you with the other brothers and sisters, but he was not at all willing to come now. He will come when he has the opportunity. Final message and greetings. Keep alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, brothers and sisters, you know that members of the household of Stephanas were the first fruits of Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you to put yourself at the service of such people and of everyone who works and toils with them. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaicus, because they have made up for your absence. For they refreshed my spirits as well as yours, so give recognition to such persons. The churches of Asia send greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the churches in their house, greet you warmly in the Lord. All the brothers and sisters send greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting with my hand. Let anyone be accursed who has no love for the Lord. O Lord, come, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with all you in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1. Salutation. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, together with all the saints through Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's thanksgiving after affliction. Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us with all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we are being consoled, it is for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we are also suffering. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our consolation. We do not want you to be ignorant, brother and sisters, of the affliction we experience in Asia, for we were so utterly unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead. He who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again. As you also join in helping us by your prayers, so that many, many give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted through the prayers of many. The postponement of Paul's visit. Indeed, this is our boast, the testimony of our conscience. We have behaved in the world with holiness and godly sincerity, but not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and all the more towards you. For we write you nothing other than what we can read and also understand. I hope you will understand until the end, as you have already understood us in part, that on the day of the Lord Jesus we are your boast, even as you are our boast. Since I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a double favor. I want to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on to Judea? Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to ordinary human standards, ready to say yes, and no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Lord of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaim among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For in him every one of God's promises is a yes. For this reason it is through him that we say amen to the glory of God. But it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, who has put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our heart as a down payment. But I call on God as witness against me. It was to spare you that I did not come again to Corinth. I do not mean to imply that we lord it over your faith. Rather, we are workers with you for your joy because you stand firm in faith. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? Paul ends 1 Corinthians with the instruction to keep alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Let all you do be done in love. Can these statements be seen as directions for seeking a full and complete life, a life aligned with the will of God? Let us end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.